Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome to Otherworld. I'm your host, Jack Wagner. The person you're about to hear from in today's episode has requested to remain anonymous. And the reason they must be anonymous is a major part of why I find their story so interesting. This person has a PhD in applied physics, specializing in nanoscale optics from a very prestigious school that we also can't name, but, you know, it's probably the one you're thinking of. Their job requires security clearances, which is why they need to be anonymous, and the job involves researching and trying to develop stuff that is very advanced, to the point where it sounds like it's ripped straight from the page of a science fiction book. This person, who we're going to call Heather, contacted us about an experience she still thinks about a lot when she saw something up in the sky that she could not explain, and something that she still can't explain now that she actually has the exact highly specific education and skills to do so. I came into Otherworld as an outsider, not knowing much about the paranormal, and quite frankly, I still don't really know much. For me, and probably a lot of people, I think you kind of assume that surely there must be an explanation for all this stuff. There must be smarter people out there in the world who have it all figured out. They have the explanations of why this stuff isn't real. In reality, that's not the case at all. In fact, what I found out is that a lot of the people working in these fields that could potentially explain some of this phenomena are the people, like the person you're about to meet, often spend quite a lot of time thinking about these things themselves. And sometimes they even have their own paranormal experiences. I'm always happy to get stories from people like Heather, especially since maybe one day she'll have an even higher security clearance and she'll be working 50 stories underground in whatever the modern version of Area 51 is. For that reason, I'm very glad I got to talk to her while I still have the chance. This is episode 76. The title is Cloaked, and you're listening to Otherworld.
Hello?
Is this Bobby?
Yes, it is.
At its core, the science you can't argue with.
Story about all of a sudden up in the sky.
It's almost frustrating that it's happening.
I'm gonna die. Limbs were just like wrong.
Everybody moves back into the light, even if it takes them a minute.
Oh, cool.
Well, actually, my harp also echoes, so I'm going to move that aside.
You have a harp?
I do. It's right here. Normally, which, my room is a super mess right now.
Oh my god.
Harp
That's
reveal.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's my fun time.
Can we get a strum or two?
Yeah, sure. I wasn't expecting to do this, but I noticed that it echoes. If you can hear it, there's like an echo, but let's play some Celtic music, because that's what this is, the Celtic harp. Hi, my name is Heather, and I'm 31 years old, and I recently graduated with my PhD in physics from a very well-known university. I now do R&D, research and development, in a field of physics known as photonics, which is understanding and studying the physics of light and how it interacts with matter. In my free time, I really enjoy playing the harp, playing video games, just kind of wasting time. And, you know, I spend most of my time during the week studying physics and working on designing structures to effectively mold and shape the flow of light and how it interacts with matter. I work in a field known as nanophotonics. And nanophotonics, you know, that sounds like a real mouthful. But what it is basically is using very tiny structures, typically on the nanoscale, so nanometers and microns, and using structures like that to mold the flow of light and to change the properties of light at that scale. So a really good example of this that people use a lot is if you've ever seen those beautiful blue morpho butterflies, and people say, oh, you know, those butterflies are so beautiful and they're so blue, but they're not actually blue. What's actually happening in on a very small microscopic scale, if you, you know, take out just a little bit of their wing and put it under an electron microscope, is that it has these tiny little structures in it, and these structures cause interference of the visible light so that other wavelengths of light, like red, green, etc., pass through, and the ones that are reflected are the blue wavelengths, and that's why they have this beautiful blue shiny pattern. And this is basically like the operating principle of nanophotonics, and especially something known as a photonic crystal. And that's basically what the blue morpho butterfly wings are. They are, at that very small microscopic scale, photonic crystals that change the inherent properties of light, that scatter light so that you see this beautiful blue pattern. Another really awesome example of this are opals. So opals have all of these gorgeous shiny colors that reflect beautiful bits of light at different angles. And that's because if you also take a look at an opal under a microscope, an electron microscope, so a really powerful microscope, you can see these really tiny ordered structures of spheres. And these spheres are like on the scale of like 400 to 700 nanometers, which are the range of wavelengths of visible light. So they scatter all of these beautiful colors. And that's another good example of something like that that you can find in nature. The sort of things that I study in my day-to-day, or did study, aren't quite like that, because these are beautiful things that are found in nature, but we try to do things that you can't necessarily find in nature. One thing that is more sort of tangible, I guess, in terms of these applications is the whole idea of cloaking. You know, the standard like Harry Potter invisibility cloak where you can put it around you and you're completely invisible. Materials that light passes through, they have something known as a refractive index. And a refractive index sort of determines how fast light propagates in these materials. Nothing travels faster than the speed of light, but it can certainly slow down the speed of light. It can change how it reflects off of a surface, all of these different properties. And in my line of work, what we try to do is find ways of making the refractive index of man-made materials go to zero. And that's kind of like taking a wavelength of light and taking it from both ends and taking this wave and stretching it out so that instead of it having all of these ripples, there are no ripples at all. The reason why we see things is because light scatters on stuff, and then that scattering reaches, you know, our eyeballs. But if you had a zero index material and you had light passing at its boundary, you know, theoretically, you wouldn't have like all of these scattering and phase effects that would make it so that light scatters off these boundaries and that you can see things, if that makes sense. So that's the reason why people think about these materials a lot for stuff like cloaking.
The craziest thing about this is that you could be making up every single word you're telling me right now, and I would not know the difference.
Yeah, I know. It's just like...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So niche. It's such a niche realm of research. It's basically something that we have not nearly begun to approach. It is so far ahead in the future. You know, we've done it maybe for some radio waves and maybe microwaves and for very small bands of frequencies. You know, doing that for optical visible wavelengths is really far ahead, both in terms of a huge engineering challenge and also very limited by our current theoretical understanding. Because there are a lot of just fundamental limits, even mathematical limits. Some papers say in order to have this work, you would have to have a material where light would be traveling faster than the speed of light, which is like basically that goes against every law of physics that we know of. So I'll just leave it there. It is just completely beyond our understanding. I'm from a very working class town in southeastern Massachusetts. You know, for a very long time, I lived there with my parents until I went to college. My mom always would tell me about her stories of things that she always thought were paranormal. I think maybe to an extent that obviously informs a lot of, you know, what I'm talking about here. So my mother would always tell me about this story that she had when she was 12 years old. She's from a family where she had 8 brothers and sisters, and they had this very crowded house. And she told me one night, one of her sisters, she had a room with her sister, and her sister kicked her out. And she was sleeping on a day bed in the living room, right near a window. And she found herself awake, and it was like this force was like compelling her, like she to kind of move herself and drawing herself towards the window where the day bed was. And it was like she was doing it, and it felt like she didn't have control over what she was doing. And she told me like the whole room and the whole outdoors was like just flooded with this very blue light. And she feels compelled to open the Venetian blinds of this window that she was sleeping right near. And she opens the Venetian blinds and she sees this being with a very large round head. She described the skin as being like blue, like a blueberry. Like this creature, this being was blue, like a deep blueberry blue, like Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And it had these perfectly round, dark eyes and a very round mouth like an O, you know, almost looking like one of those creatures from Princess Mononoke, those little forest spirits, but blue. And she saw it only from the upper chest up, but she described it as wearing like a pair of overalls or something like that. Very strange. And it was just looking at her, and she said that she had never felt fear before like that in her life, that she felt like it was making her open up the Venetian blinds to look at it, and that the whole outdoors was just, everything was cast in a blue light. And she describes just being paralyzed in fear. And the next thing that she remembers is crouching down with her face down in the bed in a fetal position, but like down, like in a downward fetal position, shaking. And I think, if I recall properly, she woke up just like that. And she was so scared. She had never told anybody about that as a, you know, as she was growing up. And she probably told me that just way too young, because I was not prepared to hear that, like, as a young girl. I was like, whoa, this is terrifying. But that experience is what kind of informed her to read this book, which I'm sure you've heard of, and it is known as Communion by Whitley Strieber, where Whitley Strieber, the science fiction author, describes this paranormal experience that he has, where he feels as like he's being taken out of this cabin in the woods, December 26th in the 80s, and describes experiencing and seeing beings that can only be described as like the exact gray aliens that people, you know, describe in popular media that are sort of ubiquitous and, you know, people I've heard on your show talk about. And at the end of that book, Whitley Strieber asks the reader, if you want to experience this, I don't remember his exact words, to ask, you know, these beings, he calls them the visitors, to reveal themselves to you in whatever way. So she's obviously thinking that in her head, and as she's driving home, she sees just like a conventional airplane flying through a cloud, and what comes out is, you know, a metallic cigar-shaped disc, and it just flies off from the other end of the cloud. And she was like, oh, wow. So, you know, my mom loves talking about this stuff. I believe her because she doesn't lie about stuff. You know, my mom is kind of, not that she's blowing it out of proportion, but maybe she's making things seem a little bit scarier. But I didn't doubt the overall kind of veracity of what she was experiencing. You know, she wouldn't lie about something like that. You know, maybe she would get more scared or would take more stock into something that maybe a typical person wouldn't. But I wouldn't doubt what she sees. Like, she's not going to lie or stretch the truth about stuff like that. You know, naturally, like, I had never seen anything like a being like that. And of course, like, when I was little, like, that did scare me. Like, what if I would ever see something like that? And, you know, thinking about, you know, how terrified that would make me, because she described it as being like one of the scariest things that's ever happened to her. But anyhow, like, that's the only experience I kind of had with that stuff before any of these things. So in 2004 is when my mom and my sister were driving to Providence, and they were over the Washington Street Bridge, and they had discussed seeing this object that is, they described again as being a silver cigar-shaped object near the clouds, and there was traffic that day, and they described this object, and then all of a sudden, the center of the object becomes transparent. They can see the clouds in it with a silver outline of this cigar-shaped object. And then the outline gradually disappeared. And yeah, the object just sort of disappeared out of nowhere. And that was like, oh, that's really, really weird. You know, of course, in my future thinking mind, oh, you know, that's crazy. I've never heard of something like that. That's a cloaked object or something like that. So that's also probably, I think, summer of 2004. Now, fast forward to summer of 2005. I am 13 years old, and I was just outside a lot that summer, you know, just kind of kicking it. You know, I'd go over to my best friend's house. We would be in the swimming pool all day. And, you know, obviously my mom's story is kind of stuck in my head a little bit. It's not something I think about, like, every single day or anything like that. This happened in the backyard of my family's house. We have this kind of old Victorian house. There's a long driveway, and into that driveway leads our side entrance, which is the entrance we actually use, and just sort of like a big backyard area at the time. You know, I'm 13 years old, and both my parents were pretty proud of how they took care of the yard. There was really kind of like a beautiful main garden there with lots of rose bushes and some big daylilies and a lot of different mums and all sorts of flowers. They would make it so that, you know, every part of spring and summer, there was always something kind of blooming back there. And I loved being back there. You know, both of my parents were at work at the time. And probably earlier in the day, I'd been playing some video games, just having like, you know, a lazy summer day that you would have if you're 13 years old and you're just kind of chilling at your house. And it was just an extremely beautiful day. It was super, super hot. The end of July, the sky was completely clear. It was a beautiful sunny day. And I'm just kind of out there looking at the flowers. And, you know, I would kind of do this thing on days where I'd be kind of home alone while my parents are at work. I'd play video games. I'd play my GameCube. And then, you know, I'd go outside to see the, you know, enjoy the beautiful sunny weather and kind of, you know, rinse and repeat a lot. So I was out there just chilling on the bench near the side entrance of our house. And we have two neighbors. Both of their houses are separated from ours with a chain link fence. Both of them are probably about, you know, 10 to 20 yards away. There's one that's a little bit further back, but it's probably not much further than 20 yards. Like, we share, our yards are completely connected, if only because of a chain link fence. You know, I'm just kind of out there, and then I see something off in the distance near, you know, further along near some neighbors' houses. I see something that, you know, at the time I thought looked like a white helicopter. That's just what I thought, but it was completely silent. And for some reason, like, it just caught my attention. Like, you know, I'm sure there are white helicopters, right? But there was just something about it that seemed a little off. In my current base of knowledge, I'd say it probably looked a bit like maybe even like a military UAV, like a real military drone, something like a Global Hawk. But I just am sort of transfixed on it, and it just catches my attention, and it keeps coming in a direction towards me. You know, it's really hard to gauge distances at this point, but it's certainly flying in my direction. So I see it, and, you know, normally that wouldn't cause me, like, normally I wouldn't really see that and, you know, have any alarm, but I just had my eyes on it, and then it just kept getting closer. And then as it got closer, I realized, wait, that's not a white helicopter. Why did I think it looks like a white helicopter? It was like it had morphed in front of my eyes into this almond-shaped metal aircraft, this disc. It was like a lopsided almond, sort of like kind of roundish at the top and a little bit flatter on the bottom, but no other distinguishing features other than it being very metallic and being completely silent. You know, I'm just kind of awestruck. And it was like it had was coming towards me, like it had noticed me noticing it, and it had moved more towards my direction and just kept hovering like this. And I was like, oh my goodness, completely silent with no wings, completely unambiguous. It's not that it was so far away that I couldn't make it out. This was not far away. It was a silver almond-shaped craft, what else am I going to call it? A UFO in the sky. And it was like, as it caught my attention, it kept coming closer and closer to me, like it had acknowledged me in some way, to the point that it just kept moving. And I'm just like, you know, I'm kind of in awe of this realization. Like, this is so unambiguous to me. Oh my God, this thing is coming closer and closer and closer. What is it going to do? And I think in my email to you, I said maybe about 100 to 300 feet. I think that's actually wrong, because I took a picture of my neighbor's house, and it couldn't have been more than like 100 feet, because to me, it appeared like it was coming towards my neighbor's house. And it did. It continued to move over, you know, over towards my neighbor's house. And then as it appeared to me above my neighbor's house, it just stayed there. It was kind of stationary for about 30 seconds to a minute. And I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, I'm like, I can't believe this is real. It was silvery, pale, metallic, and like an almond. Except it's not like, it, you know, The top was rounder than the bottom, so it almost looks like it was like an almond with a flat bottom. So I wouldn't describe it as perfectly cigar-shaped, because that would almost be like, oh, you know, it's like kind of like a cylinder. This wasn't a cylinder to me. This was very much an almond, kind of a roundish almond with a flat bottom. You know, in my mind, as I'm seeing this, because I'm completely awestruck, I'm like beckoning this thing to come closer, but I'm also kind of terrified. Like, what is this thing? Is it going to whisk me away? But also, you know, what am I going to do? Run away? No, you know. I just remember being like, what are you? You know, just shouting things like that, because, you know, what else am I going to say? Like, it was almost like it had noticed me and just came towards, you know, my direction, and it had stayed stationary in the air, probably, you know, somewhere in between maybe 30 seconds and a minute, but it's hard to tell. And of course, that whole experience was so surreal to me. It almost felt like time itself had stood still, as corny as that sounds. And then after about the 30 second mark, very gradually, I see this, this metallic UFO, because that's what it was. It had no wings, no engine, completely silent. You know, it had lowered a bit, you know, to the point where maybe it was about 100 feet, you know, above that. This thing was probably, it was probably the size of like a room in a house. You know, it's really hard to kind of gauge these distances. So gradually, I'm now seeing the blue sky kind of form in the center of this object. It's still there, but it's like the center of it has faded into the sky, where I just see pure blue sky, but I still see the outline of this almond-shaped craft, as I'm describing it, or kind of like this flat-bottom craft. And the blue sky that it's fading into in the middle get sort of spreads out more and more, to the point that all I'm seeing now is the faint outline of this craft and blue sky in the middle. And then the outline of this structure, this craft, just fades into nothing and fades into the blue sky. And, you know, it had just completely disappeared right in front of me. And it was like, as it was doing it, I'm like, no, I know what you're doing. You're disappearing in front of me, you know? I was amazed and also kind of frustrated, because, you know, at that point, obviously I am a bit terrified, but I didn't feel like I was in any immediate danger or anything. Like, it wasn't here to kind of swoop me up and kidnap me or whatever. It had just kind of acknowledged me, or at least that's what it felt like. It had acknowledged my presence, and you know, I had a kind of a hard time processing that, because, you know, I didn't know that much about science back then, but I knew that whatever technology we have, it was far beyond that. And it kind of left me just completely awestruck. And immediately I'm thinking about that story my mom said. I'm like, she was right. That's so crazy, you know, and my heart is racing, like, you know, of course, because my mom is like one of those people. That's the first person I want to tell. But it was almost too much, because you're kind of thinking, wow, this is something completely unexplained. It saw me looking at it. It came towards me in my direction. And it was like, if you've ever seen those videos of like people showing like a chimpanzee at the zoo, like their cell phone, and the chimpanzee freaks out, like, I'm the chimpanzee. It was nuts. I was like, what the, you know, I didn't know what to say, because, you know, that whole summer, I'm like, did I see something? Did I not? I'm not sure. And that was so unambiguous, like right in my face. Look what I can do.
All right, we'll be right back after this quick break. Folks, springtime is here, and it might be time to clean out the closet and finally update your wardrobe. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all the essentials for men and women, and everything is made from high-quality materials, which is very important to me. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes savings on to us. And like I mentioned, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. I recently went on a little shopping spree myself. I got a chore jacket, a Mongolian cashmere cardigan, and a quilted jacket. Basically stuff that I could just throw on top of the normal old t-shirts that I wear every day to make myself look a lot more presentable and fashionable when I need to. I also got some new sheets for our bed. They have so many to choose from. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/otherworld for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/otherworld to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/otherworld. Hey, Otherworld listeners. I'm excited to tell you about a show that I love and I think you're going to love as well. It's called Sophia with an F, starring Sophia Franklin. This show is about as different from Otherworld as a show could possibly be, which is why I think many people were very, very shocked when I got invited on as a guest around Halloween. It was really the crossover that nobody expected. I'll never forget the day my episode came out and every single one of my college-age cousins texted me all at the same time, very confused, but also very excited. It was nice to hear from all of them, though, and finally get some respect. I had a great time on the show. Sophia is really down to earth, which is why I think her interviews are so good. We talked about Otherworld, the paranormal, getting into this whole thing unexpectedly, as I did, and a lot of other stuff that I think normally does not get discussed on Sophia with an F. Normally in the show, Sophia Franklin goes deep on sex, life, mental health, relationships, and everything in between. You could get Sophia all to yourself every Monday for solo mini episodes and every Thursday with her ride or die best friends, experts, and some famous guests on a host of other topics, topics that are not safe for the dinner table, from foursomes and sugar daddies to wild sexcapades and tips for keeping things fresh in the bedroom. It's raw and laugh out loud funny, no borders and no filters. My personal favorite is the episode with Waka Flocka Flame, if you want somewhere to start. Listen to and follow Sophia with an F on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like you just need to get something off your chest? Contrary to the belief of, I think, every single man in my family lineage dating back to the hunter-gatherer period, bottling things up does not work. When you push those things down, it begins to build up and negatively affects you. And of course, the stuff you bottle up always finds a way to come out eventually, usually not in a very good way. Therapy is a place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. There's a reason people say it's like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders afterwards. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/otherworld today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/otherworld.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I just remember my heart was beating so fast. I was like, oh my God. You know, I just can't believe that that was so, so out of nowhere. And I was not expecting that to happen at all that day. I'll admit, I was a little bit scared further on in the day, just because I was thinking, like, what's, you know, is anything else going to happen to me? You know, that was pretty wild. And I told my mom, and of course, because she had experienced something very similar, she believed me completely, and she was very curious and excited, of course, because, you know, she had been talking about stuff like that to me. And, you know, for the rest of the day, I was kind of very nervous and maybe a little bit concerned that I would see anything else. And I don't think I saw anything else that day. And I think maybe because I was so anxious about that experience, because it was amazing, but I still was kind of scared after seeing that, because it's so hard to make sense of why anything would be so interested, why anything so extraordinary would be so interested, you know, in a 13-year-old girl in just like a random town in like southeastern Massachusetts. But, you know, in my perspective, seeing that something was able to just completely disappear in front of me like that and so seamlessly and so quietly, it wasn't like I felt special. It was more like, this stuff is probably everywhere. And, you know, it's probably not especially often that it would do something like that. But, you know, I had asked. You know, I was curious, and I don't know who these beings are or who or what controls that technology. But if what my mom told me about, you know, asking it to reveal itself, and it almost like it had perceived her thoughts, and the way that I had been really curious about that thing in the sky at a distance, and it was almost like it could sense my curiosity and come, you know, and came towards me, maybe, I know it sounds ridiculous, but perhaps whoever operates that stuff can hear our thoughts. I know that sounds silly, but that's what I'm going to say, you know?
I'm just curious, as a person who is pretty far along in their field, I mean, it sounds silly to say hear our thoughts, but like, is that silly? Is there any
kind of like... No, it's not silly. Actually, like, I say that, yeah, I don't think that's silly. And I say that just because, like, talking to a general audience, like, people are not primed to hear that and take you seriously. And I know this very much. It's why I'm kind of hiding my identity talking about all this, because I think about it a lot. And I've had a lot of crazy things. And I think in terms of our current understanding, and I am not a neuroscientist, I'm not a cognitive scientist, I'm not a psychologist. You know, having a sort of extrasensory perception of people's thoughts, a lot that goes on in neuro and cognitive science is that we're still understanding so much about the mind and how it works, just in general. In fact, I think that's why it's such a burgeoning field, is that it really is kind of the Wild West in terms of like our understanding of how the mind works and how different aspects of the mind work with one another. I think this is, yeah, it's not, I don't think it's silly. I think, you know, our ears can hear sound waves. Our eyes can perceive visible light waves, electromagnetic radiation, you know? And I think that there's a lot out there in terms of different things that we don't currently understand that we could perhaps have some perception of. That's as much as I can probably say, you know. Yeah, I think, like I said, there is a lot that we currently don't have a grasp on. And I think, I have a whole rabbit hole I can go down in terms of, I think sometimes a lot of psychic phenomena that people have is our brain trying to perceive information that we don't. Actually, this is very much like your friend from the Gateway Process video.
I'm nodding along. I know where this is going.
Exactly. And I don't know your friend personally. Seems like a really cool person. But I think sometimes there is a lot of, there's a lot of information, in our universe, not to be, corny. There's a lot of electromagnetic radiation that we can't perceive. And I think maybe sometimes when it comes to psychic information, we're perceiving it in terms, in terms of something that we can understand with our own senses. Whether it's you think that you hear something and it comes in like as a noise, or you think you see something. I think that definitely informed how curious I became about the world, and probably eventually why I wanted to study physics, because, it wasn't something that I had thought about initially. Like, I loved plants and biology, and I still do. And, part of me wishes I had stayed down that road. But I just was so curious. And it's funny because that whole craft cloaking thing happened to me, but it's not like I had gone into school thinking, oh, this is what I want to study or understand. I had studied physics and maybe wanted to do some like theoretical physics, and I realized it really wasn't for me. And then I got into optics and just studying the way light interacts with matter. And the research group I stumbled into that does the stuff that is tangentially related to cloaking is, that whole me getting into that was entirely incidental. And when that happened to me, a lot of that experience sort of haunted me a bit, because, I had known that it was wild and crazy. I know that the Department of Defense does a lot of, research in advanced technology. But when I understood just how advanced that is, just how beyond our grasp that kind of science and technology is, centuries even, it still haunts me to this day, as, corny as that is, because I now finally understand to what extent that's just completely wild and, so far beyond our grasp. I had never seen anything that spectacular again. I'd always think that maybe I had seen something in other instances, but again, there's always this ambiguity, and, trying to be respectable and, have some amount of skepticism to hold me back, but that was so unambiguous. There was one thing that happened to me my senior year of high school. The sighting of that UFO was, I was in seventh grade, entering eighth grade. And then in my senior year of high school, I had this really strange dream and experience that I can't say for certain was linked, but it definitely in my mind and in my realm of experiences that feel very extraordinary like that was definitely linked. And it was Halloween night in 2009. I remember that really vividly. I was in the living room with my mom and we were just watching something on TV. And I had a pretty bad cold. I was very stuffy. And I was like laying on the couch, and I think she was sitting on the chair nearby. The TV's on, and I fall asleep. In this dream, I'm aware that I'm dreaming, but at the same time, it's not a lucid dream. Like, I have zero control over this experience that's happening to me. It's almost like I can feel myself, like my body being stuffy, and I can feel like my congestion. But in terms of what was happening to me, it was almost like I was very separate from my body at the same time. And I was in a desert at nighttime in this dream. It's just like I'm being suspended in space, my body, and it's transparent, and like I have no arms. I don't know why that's a detail, but like I feel myself suspended in space. It's like I'm kind of being held there. And in the background of this dream, there's like this, it's like I can see something kind of and moving in my peripheral vision, like really fast, like just something that was like just like a dark shape of a body of something, and it was moving and shifting around in my peripheral vision very fast. And I hear this thing, and whatever that was basically is communicating to me. And I don't remember like exact words, because it's not like it came in through words specifically. It was like sending thoughts directly to me. And it was describing, this voice was describing something that, you know, kind of sounds, you know, in my understanding of like physics, feels like a little bit cliche, but basically like it was this, you know, we are all sort of connected and interact with each other through a field. And this field is kind of like quantum field theory. And I hate saying that because I don't like the whole quantum philosophy stuff, but in quantum field theory, electrons are thought of as being excitations of the electromagnetic field. And that, you know, everything is kind of connected mathematically and, you know, interacting mathematically through this field. And it was like this voice was trying to make an analogy between electrons in the electromagnetic field and everybody's individual consciousness and like a field of consciousness. And I know that sounds like so corny, and like that's what it felt like to me, but it was like all of our consciousness are like, even though they're kind of individualized when we take physical form, they're all kind of united in this field of consciousness, and we can all interact with one another, and everybody's individual actions affect other people, and sort of describing this kind of effect, and that this sort of field of consciousness contains basically like all information about, you know, the universe and people and spirits interacting in it. And that's what it's saying to me. I'm still like suspended in space and I'm hearing this. And I say, that's amazing. How do I access this? And the voice said to me, okay, imagine your own consciousness as like a three-dimensional box. And you really want to condense it down, like all of your thoughts, all of your brain activity, and compress all of that noise down. Take the box, the cube, and compress it down into like a square. So instead of it being a three-dimensional box, and I'm seeing this like in my head, I see the cube, and then it compresses it down into a square. And then the square, which is two dimensions, compresses down into a line, and then the line condenses down into a singular point, and you want to bring your consciousness down to that point, and then you will learn. And then I woke up.
What do you think of that? I mean, that sounds like something I'd expect like a lady that works at a crystal shop or an organic grocery store to tell me, but you're a...
I know!
You're a nanoparticle physicist or whatever, like...
You know, it does feel kind of hokey, right? You know, but at the same time, when I heard that and what it was trying to tell me about this field and then learning more about physics and that I could at least kind of develop a sort of analogy to what this voice was trying to tell me that I don't think I really had the knowledge to understand at the time, you know, did bring me pause. So like, this is not something I would necessarily tell my colleagues or anybody like that, because I do have that part of my brain thinking, well, you sound like, you know, a lady at the crystal shop. But, you know, there is also this part of me that knows people who are more kind of headfirst in the spiritual field without like a scientific background to inform them. And in spite of that, a lot of the things that they say, they're right. And I just think that we have a lot that we don't understand.
I will say this, like, I read a lot of emails about all sorts of things, and that message is a theme I've heard come up a lot, whether it's somebody getting bonked on the head and seeing something, or like suddenly hearing a voice, or a variety of different things and receiving a similar message, which is
a strange pattern. Yeah, and you know, maybe that's why it seems so cliche, because maybe it's cliche because it's real. Maybe, you know, off record, maybe the image of like a gray alien feels so cliche because so many people have seen something that looks just like that. You know what I mean? And I've never seen that personally. I'm just, you know, but I very much
trust. Is that actually off the record, or are you using it in a figurative term?
You can probably quote that, but like, you know, that very nice man who the face in the window episode, like, I completely believe everything he said, because when he was talking about the voice talking to him in his head, that's exactly what it felt like to me. So, you know, these many years later, I think when I had that dream when I was a senior in high school, I wasn't actually even thinking necessarily of going into physics at that point. I had wanted to be a chemistry major, and I just liked physics more. And, you know, as I had gone further along and taken more courses, that message about the field and, you know, all of our consciousness interacting with one another in this field, I had thought about that dream very much when I started learning about quantum field theory and how electrons are considered excitations of the electromagnetic field, and how all particles and physical phenomena are described in terms of these fields and these field equations and these metrics. I think in terms of my own experiences, I do think that there is a lot of information and phenomena out there that we might, you know, in our day-to-day lives have a difficulty in like perceiving and understanding. I think that it's why people who may have like genuine psychic abilities or have demonstrated that often are very, very serious about meditation, because they're able to compress and condense a lot of the noise in their minds in order to sort of pick up on this very sensitive and delicate information. And knowing people who've had very genuine phenomena that have happened to them, who I know for certain aren't lying. You know, when it comes to my day-to-day study, you know, I don't know if it necessarily affects it at all. And I find that it doesn't really conflict with it at all. It doesn't conflict with my ability to be discerning and look at data. And, you know, if anything, I just feel like in some ways, I feel a little bit more, I don't want to say wondrous, but, you know, it kind of, there is a sense of kind of like hope and optimism that, you know, a lot of really amazing things are possible. In the realm of physics, things that are kind of far beyond our understanding. And there's like a big step between seeing something so amazing that I can't really explain and then kind of struggling with the mundane day-to-day of like, oh, just trying to improve this like really small detail and this like really small design that I'm working on my computer, you know? Like, wow, I know this thing, this amazing, incredible thing really exists. And yet I'm struggling, like, trying to just make this one thing just, like, 2% better. You know what I mean? But that's, you know, kind of that's where it ends. And of course, like, you know, I'm kind of always seeking that in my head. Did I see humanity in the future? Did I see, you know, a completely other, you know, other realm of beings? Like, I can't answer that question. You know, I don't think I'll ever have the answer to that. But it certainly has been a huge inspiration for me, you know, through my life and what I've worked on, even if that how I got here was completely incidental.
All right. Thank you so much to Heather for speaking with me and telling me her stories. Also, thank you for that harp performance. Heather, I will say, though, it's kind of funny that you made us make you anonymous, because I have to imagine there are not many Celtic harp-playing nano-optical physicists out there. I'm pretty sure it would be pretty easy for anyone that knows you to piece these things together. So maybe keep the harp away from the lab if you want to be careful. I love this story, and I love talking to Heather. UFO stories are some of my favorite to hear, and this one stands out in particular because of her career and education. I get asked all the time about patterns that I notice in submissions, or people ask me to even make episodes where I go through patterns that I notice. Personally, I think it's more fun for people to notice these patterns on their own, but I'll make an exception this time and say that the message Heather was being given in that dream or vision or whatever it was, that's a pattern. That's a very big pattern that I've noticed in submissions. And I don't think I would have taken it seriously at all if it wasn't such a big pattern. Because like I said to Heather, those messages, they're kind of cliche, like the type of thing you'd expect to see posted on some kind of New Age Facebook page, which for the record, I have nothing against New Age Facebook pages, but I think you know what I mean. I don't think I would have taken it seriously if I didn't receive so many stories from so many different people who had something extraordinary happen to them, and during the process, receive that exact message. People of all different walks of life. It's really not something I would have taken seriously before, but something I do take seriously now that I've seen it come up so many times in the submissions. And that's why it stood out so much to me when she told me that second story. So, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much to Heather for sharing her story. This has been episode 76. The title is Cloaked, and you've been listening to Otherworld. Otherworld is executive produced and hosted by myself, Jack Wagner. Our theme song is by Coberman. The soundtrack of this episode is by Juice Jackal and North Americans. This episode was edited by myself and engineered by Theo Schaefer. Our artwork is by Cul-de-Sac Studios. Production help by Nikki Kate Delgado and Haley Pearson. Please show us your support by subscribing to the podcast, leaving a 5-star review, and telling your friends about the show. If you want to hear bonus episodes of Otherworld, you can become a patron at patreon.com/otherworld. Our social media is at otherworldpod. Thank you to the team at Odyssey: J.D. Crowley, Jenna Weiss-Berman, Leah Reese-Dennis, Rob Morandi, Eric Donnelly, Matt Casey, Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, and Hilary Schuff. Follow and listen to Otherworld now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, if you or somebody you know has experienced something supernatural, paranormal, or unexplained, you could send us your story at stories@otherworldpod.com.